welcome to episode 138 of Taking the Charge with you from Regensburg, Germany. I am David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. So, another week, another podcast. That last podcast seems so long ago. I was actually out of town. I left Wednesday morning last week, and it seems like 2 weeks ago. I keep thinking the last two or three days, I kept on thinking I missed a show, but I guess I didn't. So we're at 138. I think gonna kind of focus a little bit today on some German stuff. There was actually been a bunch of news in the German league. I know there's stuff in other leagues right now, but just I've been so busy with other things. But I have been writing, obviously, about the German league. I write the weekly news piece for the Beko BBL German League on the German league website. So I do have to stay abreast. And there's been quite a few big items going on in Germany. I'll get to those in a minute, and then the interview as well. Just to get the housekeeping out of the way, you can contact me at Hein News on Twitter, HEINNEWS, on Twitter. The email address is heinnews@gmx.de. And then there's, you can also catch us in the Facebook group, just put in Taking the Charge, you should get to us. Come on in. We just want to make sure that we know who's coming in. But of course, we let you all in. And iTunes, rate and review us. That helps the podcast be seen and work its way up the aggregators, whatnot. So like I was saying, the German league playoffs, the regular season has ended, and I guess probably the biggest news at the end of the regular season was actually that Artland Dragons will cease to exist. In a pretty crazy turn of events, their main sponsor, their main financial backer, drawing a blank on his name, I believe Gunter Coleman, can't remember exactly, but I think that's it, has decided to pull out, citing the increasing budgets in the BBL. And they, of course, missed the playoffs this year, kind of struggled this year. Not totally sure why. I mean, it was kind of the same team last year. They're the ones who knocked Bamberg out of the playoffs last year, and that of course ended the tenure of Chris Fleming, who also obviously has a very close connection to Artland. He was a player for them in the second league, and then took over as coach and helped them get up to the first division in 2003, and then guided them to the finals and in 2007, and I believe he moved on after that. And I know they also reached they won the German Cup the year after in 2008, and I believe they reached the quarterfinals in Europe, at least the round of 16 in the Euro Challenge for sure, in the Euro Cup for sure. But you know, it was always this sort of fun-loving story from this, you know, small town Quackenbrück, which is like 13,000, and I think I heard somewhere that they sold out more than 120 games in a row, and they're gone. Artland Dragons will cease to exist. Though I guess they are keeping the, I believe it's TSV Kvakenbrücker, which is the youth teams, and actually a pretty interesting talent in that organization, Isaiah Hartenstein, who is one of the leading players from the 98 generation. And there's another one from 99. I can't remember the name right off the top of my head. 99 or 2000. And so, yeah, Artland Dragons. It's been fun. It's been fun, but amazing. Just, you know, today they're you know, had a struggle this year, but, you know, maybe, you know, they should be back. They're always a contender for, you know, for at least the semifinals of the playoffs, and now they're gone. But, you know, it does open some eyes, or should open some eyes to German basketball, the clubs, which is, you know, it is a provincial sport in Germany. I mean, they mainly, are, you know, focused, you know, there's not really, you know, nationwide teams, you know, they have a nationwide following, you know, it's really sort of a low key, sport. You know, it's really just a local club, much more than some of the other sports. So, you know, it's you know, even a team like Brose Baskets Bamberg, you know, they have everything invested in Brose. And if Brose, you know, were to come out and say, you know, we don't want to do sports anymore, we don't do basketball anymore, you know, they could be in serious trouble. You know, they also have gotten rid of Wolfgang Heider, and you know, Heider was such a huge force in the area. And you know, you used to go to Bamberg games, and there was like probably, God, there must have been hundreds of smaller ads, billboards, whatever, on the walls or wherever hanging, and then they just, you know, got rid of everybody and just had it Brose, and that was it. And so now if Brose were to actually pull out, you know, you'd have to go back and try to see it, you know, about getting some of these other guys. And you know, if you get slapped in the face, you know, you're not going to be too keen necessarily on coming back and talking to the person that had slapped you just not too long ago. So, you know, it's a warning out there. It's a warning out there to German clubs, and you know, although of course it's still strong. The German league, you know, I mean, there's starting to be maybe a couple little chinks in the armor. You know, you have a really established team like Artland, going, belly up, you know, they said, okay, we can't do this anymore. And then you had a team like Trier who, okay, they were, you know, never really a financial powerhouse at all, but you know, they ended up losing, three victories, being confiscated three victories for their financial struggles this year, and it cost them a spot. It most likely cost them a spot in the BBL, because they ended up finishing 17th and will be relegated through the solvency of the of Artland. You know, there'll be a spot open, and you know, I've heard it'll probably be 250,000 euros for a wild card, I think that the league, you know, I mean, if they don't find somebody that's willing to pay 250,000, if that is actually the number, hey, they'll be fine with playing 17 teams. You know, I know that the teams like Alba Berlin and Bayern Munich, and you know, the teams that are playing, you know, further into the European club scenes, you know, they'll be happy not to have those games. I mean, they'll lose the one home game, but you know, but you gain all that money from the international games. So, and I mean, if Albert Berlin had reached the quarterfinal playoffs of the EuroLeague, I have no idea how they would have done that, schedule-wise, because I think during that whatever 10-day period, I think Alba played for at least three games, probably four games, in Germany. So I don't think they'll be super disappointed if the BBL and the teams, the clubs, would be super disappointed if nobody is able to come up with $250,000 or whatever the wild card fee is. End of the regular season obviously also means that the attendance figures are released, and a slight downturn. I think it was 11 or 12 years of constant growth, constant increase in total attendance and average attendance. But a slight downtick in attendance for the regular season, 4,431 fans per game, 4,400. And that is down 1.4% over last year, which was the record year, where they were at 4,494, so just shy of 4,500 fans. So that was the record last season, and they came up, I guess, 60 fans fewer per game. That average might go up a little bit because of the playoffs. There were three teams that had 100% capacity. Those being Bamberg, Ulm, and Artland Dragons. So obviously they lose Artland. So that would be interesting to see what happens next year. As a league total, it was an 83.7% capacity. So quite a bit. And four teams topped 100,000 fans for 17 games. Berlin at 168,000, and that's 9,900 fans per game. And then you have Bamberg at 115,600 at 6,800 per game at 100% capacity. Ulm 100% capacity at 103,600, and Bayern Munich had just a shade over 6,000 for 102,200. Biggest attendance jump was for MHP Riesen Ludwigsburg, and they jumped 5.3% from 3,761 to 3,959. Lots of figures. I don't know if that's necessarily the greatest of radio, but this ain't radio. This is podcasting, so we can get away with it. Slight little chinks of the armor in the armor. The CEO Jan Palmer is also leaving as of July 1st. He's going to move into the German sports marketing, I believe that's what it's called. He's going to be one of the executive officers there, and I think he's going to be in charge of helping market the Olympic Games. Hamburg is applying for the 2024. Is that right? 2024 Olympics. So he's going to be kind of working with them on that. We were talking, for much of the 2 years that we've been doing the show that, growth, 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 and everything's hunky dory. There's still a lot to like. You know, that's, I guess in any league, you know, it's you know, there's going to be an issue here or there. But you know, you see two teams have real financial problems. You know, you lose your CEO, attendance is a slight downturn. You know, you could say a reason for the downturn in attendance is also because you lost Würzburg, who are going to give you, 3,000 plus every game. You bring in Crailsheim, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, what they ended up bringing in. But, you know, so those two will swap. And, you know, Gießen is coming back up. Gießen 46ers won the Pro B, the German second division. So they'll probably, you know, there's a pretty good historic base there. I think they've won 5 championships in the past. So they, you know, they'll have a pretty good fan base. I imagine that they'll be pretty, they'll come out with pretty decent numbers. So maybe that number does go back up. But, you know, obviously it's, you know, it remains to be seen. Let's move really briefly then to the playoffs. Actually just trying to call up those numbers really quick on the, what Crailsheim ended up getting. Crailsheim was last and they got 2,500, barely, not quite 2,500. And so you lose Crailsheim and you're going to bring in Würzburg, which you're guaranteed to get 3,000. So, you know, that will be 500 fans, more per game. So, you know, depending on what happens with Gießen, you know, maybe that figure goes back up. Actually, there was one other piece of news that was kind of interesting, was that Nihad Jedovic, got a German passport. He was born in Bosnia and moved to, Germany as a baby and lived in Munich, near Munich for 6 years, before moving back. And so they gave him a German passport. And that gives a little bit of flexibility for Bayern Munich, that he counts as one of the Germans. They have their 6-6 rule, so a little bit of news there. So might be an impact. I think it's a bigger impact if Anton Gavel stays. Although there's quite a few rumblings out there that he will be leaving. Seems to be safe money has him going back to Bamberg, but obviously that's not, you know, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's kind of what the rumblings are out there here in Germany. EuroLeague, I know you guys probably might be wondering what I'm kind of thinking about the EuroLeague, but I'm going to save that for one more week. I'm going to try to have somebody on the show next week where we can kind of focus on EuroLeague. Since it's such a big deal, and I'll also kind of talk a little bit about the Adidas Next Generation tournament as well. Put EuroLeague on hold. As I believe I said on the Facebook page, with the NBA predictions, I can't remember if I actually said it or not. After I gave my NBA tips, want some good advice, take as many of those bets, and go the other way. So obviously, missed on, a couple of those. See if we can't, you know, a little bit later in the playoffs, see if we can't maybe get somebody and we'll talk some NBA stuff. But moving on to the interview of the week, I did a piece that's actually just up Going up today, I believe it should be going up today, Wednesday, on Jānis Strelnieks, the Latvian international, and had a chance to talk to him for FIBA Europe. It'll be up on FIBAEurope.com. Like I said, imagine today, if it's not up yet, but definitely by tomorrow, by Thursday. Just wanted to talk to him about Eurobasket, and also talk to him about his how he's improving under Andrea Trinchieri, and also about his tattoo, his namesake, and his and two dogs named Lillard and Rondo. So here's the interview with Jānis Strelnieks. Enjoy that, and we'll catch you on the other side.
So, first of all, things looked less than promising. You guys struggled a little bit defensively in this game against Artland. Ended up playing good defense down the stretch, won by 12. Thoughts about this game against Artland?
Yeah, like you said, we started slow, and they played more aggressive than us, and we let them... We were bad only on a staggered offense, you know. We couldn't follow them. We were struggling in the screens and everything. But in the second half, we just picked up the defense. We started to play aggressive on the point guards and everybody, and started blocking shots. And started, this was over game in the second half. It was.
I think she wants your signature. Can you go ahead and sign it? You guys are three games left before the playoffs start. You had the game down in Munich. Ryan didn't play. Where do you feel that the team is going really into a really tough stretch before the playoffs start?
Yeah, but we still have a lot of things to improve. We showed that we can play against Munich, and we missed the last 5 minutes. We played good 35 minutes, but the last 5 minutes, Munich, they just play smarter than us. So we have to improve that, to be more patient in offense and use our strengths. And we have still three more tough games, especially day after tomorrow against Ulm, in Ulm. So that will not be easy, but tomorrow we will. Again, we would go to the practice, and try to improve.
Mm-hmm. Talk about improvement. What do you think that is there that still needs to be sort of corrected or improved upon?
I think the concentration, because when we are not focused, like three out of five guys, done. When we all focus and we play hard defense, we help each other.
Tonight.
Yeah, like in second half, and then we can do the big things.
Talk a little bit about yourself. This is your first season here in Bamberg. What do you think about Bamberg?
Oh, it's a nice place. I like small cities, because before I was in St. Petersburg and Kiev, that was too big for me.
Especially coming from a small town yourself.
Yes, I'm coming from a small town, like I said, so it's good for me. I like it. There's no traffic. You can go slowly everywhere, so it's good.
What did you think about, what was your idea coming here? Like you said, you'd been in St. Petersburg, you'd been in Budivelnik, it was going to be a Euro Cup team. What was your thoughts about when you came here?
Oh, definitely coach wanted me, also when he was in Russia, so we spoke with him, and me and agent, we discussed, and we said it's a good place to come and be better.
How do you feel that you've improved now under Trinchieri?
Yeah, why not? A little things on the offensively and defensively. He always talk with us and say what you want to do, what he wants you to do, and you just start to think a little different when he talks to you. So it's a lot of things to. He taught me a lot of things. Yeah.
Well, what would you say is the biggest thing you learned so far this season?
So far, it's not like just the one thing. It's just thinking on the court to make better decisions and everything, like I said, like everything. Just.
What do you think about the level of the game here? I mean, you know, you also played EuroLeague in Budivelnik. What do you think about the level of the game here in Germany?
The level is getting, I think, better, because I spoke with the guys who play here in Germany like a couple of years ago, Latvian guys, and they said now it's much better than it was before, and every year is just improving. They come, good players come here, and now two teams play EuroLeague, two teams Euro Cup, two and Euro Challenge. So a lot of teams who play in the European tournament. So it's definitely a good place to come.
What's the likelihood that two guys from Talzi would end up here? You and Uwe Salmanis. Do you know him pretty well? I mean, it's a small town. Do you know him pretty well? And what was his message to you about Bamberg?
Oh, we didn't talk about this, but I played together with him when I was 17 years old. So he was the most experienced player in the team, and he bumped me all the time. But yeah, now he's a coach in Liepāja, so I haven't spoken with him. But usually, it's pretty funny that we come from the small city and we end up here in Bamberg.
Yeah, for sure. You have a obviously there's the rest of the season, and we'll come back to that. But I'd like to ask you about the European Championship EuroBasket. What do you think that Riga, you know, they hosted the Women's European Championship a few years back. They've hosted some youth tournaments. What do you think it means for Latvia and for Riga, especially after all the financial problems that you guys are co-hosting this tournament?
But it means a lot, because we always try to play good after our, like I said, 5 years ago we had a different team. And they had some issues in the team and everything, everybody know about that. And then the team changed completely. We started to play with the young guys, and thanks for Einars Bagatskis that he took this. And I think it wasn't easy for him to take the young guys and to play EuroBasket. And first year when we played in Šiauliai, I think that was the first European champion for us, we lost all games. But we tried to keep going next year in qualification. Then was in Slovenia, we started to play better. We beat Montenegro.
You were a loss to Belgium from the quarterfinals.
And yeah, that's actually. But you cannot say that Belgium is a bad team.
No, that's, I'm not saying that. Yeah, but that's how close you were. You were on the doorstep to the quarterfinals with such a young team.
Yes, and I think that was the game when nobody could score. We scored like 50 points, 54 against 52 we lost, or something like that. And that was just a terrible game. But now the first round is in Latvia. That means a lot. And maybe it will be a little bigger pressure on us. But I think now we have very good fans. And they love us. So we will try to show them a good basketball.
Belgium's the first game. Thoughts about that?
We will prepare for that, but we cannot go like overdoing something. We just have to be focused and keep concentration all game and do our what we will decide to do against them. We will see. But yeah, we just need to be relaxed, focused on everything.
In general, the group, Belgium, Lithuania, Czech, Ukraine, and Estonia. Thoughts about that, about the group with four going through to the round of 16?
So still, maybe there's not big countries, the basketball countries, except Lithuania. But everybody has a good players, and we have to focus on everybody. We cannot go to against Estonia or Ukraine. We killed Ukraine last European Championship, but that was 2 years ago, so we have to forget it. That will be the new game, everything. So we have to just take one game at a time and start with the Belgium.
What do you think that you guys are going to have to do in order to get to the round of 16, which I assume is the minimum goal for the team?
I'm sorry, again?
What do you think that the team has to do in order to be successful?
Just finish as high as we can in a group. Of course, it will not be easy to get the first place, but we will try to fight even with Lithuania. We play at home, and we will try to beat every team. So we just need to improve. But we will see who will play national team, because the season is still long everywhere. So we will see with the injury guys who got injuries. So we just have to see our roster. Then we will.
What would it mean for you to play in Riga in front of the home fans in the European Championship?
Oh, I love it. I just love Riga. All the time I go, I was in St. Petersburg 2 years, in Kiev, and during the season I just want to go back to Riga at least for 2 days, and then I can come back. I just love that. Yeah.
Some personal stuff. Looking around on the web, there's not really a lot about you. You know, I don't know if you're just a very pretty private person, or just people haven't decided to ask you personal questions. What would you say is a hidden talent of yours?
Hidden talent?
Yeah. Something that you do good, well, that nobody knows.
No, it's a tough question. I don't like to talk about me by myself, but you have to ask my coach or somebody else. So I usually don't say anything about me. I try to do everything that I can, and I can improve a lot of things. There is not like just one thing what I do.
Really. No, not on basketball.
Outside
something off the court.
Probably relaxing, because I always go in the hometown and I can sit in my couch and watch TV all day. So this summer I use for relaxing. There's quiet, there is no people around, only my dogs, and yeah. So
I noticed on Facebook pictures of the dogs. Is it plural? Do you have? I saw a beagle. Just one, or
my parents has the golden retriever, so I spend with him a lot of time. So those two.
And what's the name of the beagle?
Zeus. Yeah.
Like the god.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And his second, like official name, Lillard.
Lillard. As in?
Like a Damian Lillard. Damian. Yep.
So you're a big fan of Damian Lillard?
Not really, but we just need to use the L letter for the word. So okay. We all think about basketball players, because the golden retriever's name is Rondo.
Okay.
So we use the basketball player names to do the dogs. So.
Speaking of, I guess, gods, speaking of whatever, your name translates to Sagittarius, or means Sagittarius in English. You're not a zodiac. You're not even Sagittarius, your sign. What do you think about that?
No, I don't know actually what to say, but it's a funny thing. If I would be...
Yeah, but you're
like,
not even...
I'm not, yeah. So, I don't know. There's nothing...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good.
Okay. I noticed actually today you have a tattoo on the left wrist.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Just my initials when I was born. I was 18 when I made it, so I just needed something.
Was that when you first got first professional contract, or first time you moved away, or
just in the summertime,
nothing to do.
I
looking also around, your name is there's some dancers that come up.
Dancers, actually, yeah, but I'm not relative.
I'm not saying you are relative.
Yeah,
but do you know who this person is?
I don't know him, but I know that I saw the show in Latvia was going on. I think right now.
Okay.
And it was the same Giannis Strelnings. Yeah, I know that. That's a funny thing.
You're actually only a couple more. You're actually part of a very big history in Latvian basketball. In 2007, you helped the national team U18s to get the bronze medal at the under 18s behind Serbia and Greece. A lot of great names from those teams, especially the Greek team. That was the first medal for Latvia since 39. What did that mean for you? What did that mean for basketball to get that?
Oh, we were like kings when we came back home. Everybody was waiting for us. Everybody was like, oh, yes. And we felt like we did something really, really big. But we forget also after 2 days.
Yeah.
So
that your was, kids.
Yeah, your kids. But for that moment, it was... We landed and the people was waiting, the media and everything. We were like, oh, we have to talk again. So that was a fun. That was a lot of fun. There.
What do you remember about that whole tournament?
Probably my last shot for the bronze medal. Yeah. We were tied and I scored in the last seconds, the jumper from the corner. So probably that I remember.
Yeah. How much do you talk to? Darius Bratrans is the biggest, let's say, other name from that team. How much do you talk? Do you think about that at all?
Oh. We haven't talked about it, but we are best friends, so we spend all summer together. So
that's not exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, but we have other things to talk because we have long season. He's in Spain, I'm here, so we have a lot of things to talk about. But that sometimes when we come all together with parents, then something coming up there. Oh, do you remember the 2007 and something? And I think, yeah, one time we watched all games there because his mother saved the videos. So I think 1 year, like a couple of years ago, we were watching.
Let's come back here. The thing that Bamberg have to do to let's just say get past the first round of the playoffs to get into the semifinals. What do you think the team needs to get together?
So, first of all, we struggle in important games, so we have to improve in that because the playoffs will be different, and it doesn't matter if you are in first place and you play against the 8th place, or second you play against the 7th, so it doesn't matter, it's the playoffs. And who will be smarter that will win these games, because that's a like coach said, sometimes it's mind games in the playoffs. So, but I'm looking forward. I love to play playoffs.
I'll let you go with that. Thanks, man.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually kind of fearing that he might be a tough interview because he seems really quiet. When I had told somebody I was going to interview him, he's like, well, I don't know. You know, hopefully you can get some stuff out of him. But really personable, really quick. So it was really, really cool. I'll tell you what, watching him, really kind of up close more than I ever have in the past. I am really excited about seeing him play at home in the in EuroBasket. He's been so great this year. The mix between him and Brad Wanamaker at Bamberg has just been so impressive at the point guard position. They're both so calm and don't seem to get fazed by really anything. And it'll be interesting, you know, that it's not really a tough group. I think it's a tight group, but I don't think it's a tough group. And I think, you know, second place is definitely doable. And, you know, I mean, you know, if Lithuania doesn't bring some of their big guys and Latvia have everybody, I mean, of course, Riga, they're going to have, you know, that's not far from Lithuania, so there's gonna be some Lithuanians at that game. So you know, it will be a tough fight for them, but should be fun. So yeah, cool guy. Was really happy to have a nice conversation with him, whereas I didn't necessarily expect it. I just realized that I was going to do the playoff picture in Germany and forgot to do that. At least Strelnix is playing in Germany, so that helps. Is with Bamberg, and so Bamberg beat Berlin on the final game of the season. It was a makeup game from I think the 24th round of games. And so they ended up, Bamberg won that to finish first. Second was Berlin, followed by Bayern Munich, then Bonn. Ulm was fifth, followed by Frankfurt, Oldenburg, Ludwigsburg. So you have Bamberg, Ludwigsburg, Berlin, Oldenburg, Munich, Frankfurt, and Bonn, Ulm. Ulm and Bonn played in Bonn the last game of the season, so a preview of the first round of playoffs, and Ulm won that in Bonn. So should be a nice battle there. My picks were Bamberg 4, Berlin 5, Bayern 4, and Ulm in 4. So kind of really just going against the home team once, with Ulm being that team. I think Bamberg, you know, they go into the playoffs as the favorite. I think not only in my eyes, but in a lot of eyes of observers. And I think it might be a little bit of a tough series with Ludwigsburg. They can be really good. You know, I could see a sweep. You know, I have them in four, but I can see them sweeping as well. Berlin, Oldenburg, you know, they struggled so much down the stretch. You know, they almost ended up losing, not making the playoffs. I have a feeling that they'll give Berlin a fight. And Bayern, that's going to be a great series. I can't wait for that Bayern against Frankfurt. To see Bryant, John Bryant going against Johannes Voigtmann. I mean, in theory, you know, I see both those guys in the NBA in 2 years, you know. Both those centers going to the NBA in 2 years. And then Ulm, I have a feeling that that this Albert Gunter Claiborne combination will be also with the Greek Ian Fujikakas. Can't remember exactly. You know, that he was a huge ad because it gave him some size, and so I think that I think Ulm will do it. So I guess I'll leave it at that for the week. Like I said, next week I'm going to try to get a EuroLeague show. So you guys can look forward to some EuroLeague chat. Until then, obviously the thing I have to do always at the end of the show is let you guys know what you're going to listen to. And the band is, and I believe we had them on before, the Crevulators, and the song is called Anything You Want. And of course, as always, that music is available on freemusicarchive.org. Go over there, check it out, enjoy. I will talk to you again next week.
Set you free. How you doing? This is Andre Blatch from the Philippine national team. You're listening to Taking the Charge.